there's an intense retreat that the Jesuits have created and that they go on throughout their formation, and people can go on it as well, which lasts for 30 days. It's a 30-day long retreat. And the retreat is almost completely silent. And so for 30 days, aside from a daily meeting with a spiritual director, you don't talk to anyone. And for those of us introverts, that sounds like pure bliss. It's like, how wonderful. And a death sentence for everyone else. And the focus of the retreat is really scriptural. So like one reads from scripture multiple times each day, and you really just kind of immerse yourself in the story of Jesus. And each week kind of has its own theme a little bit. And some of the more intense weeks of the retreat is the one that focuses on Jesus' passion, his death and torture. And one of these days is focused on a very particular and difficult meditation. For an entire day, one thinks about, prays about, meditates on the love Jesus had for Judas as he hung on the cross, right in that moment. That as Jesus hung upon the cross, a place he would not be if not for Judas, he was filled with love for the very man who betrayed him. And for an entire day, you just sit with that. And part of it is to kind of reflect upon ourselves and be thinking about those people or those enemies who have hurt us. For as we know, loving our enemies is not easy. And partly because we often have to do so hanging on the very cross that they put us on. And yet that really is the key to being able to fulfill this almost irrational command by our Lord. Though we do not love someone because of what they do to us, we love someone because of what we do to them. Love is not earned. Love is given and received. And one of the beautiful things about being Catholic is that we have a God who does not ask us to do anything that he himself has not already done. For God does love his enemies. Kind of answers the question why bad people don't get what's coming to them, why they're not punished. Because often we want to punish them for our own desires rather than for what's best for them. And so in order for us to be able to love our enemies like our Lord, we need to be reminded what it means to love. Because otherwise, this doesn't make sense at all. So to love, if you were to define it, is to will the good of the other. In other words, to love is to want what is best for the person in front of you. Not what is best for me or what they think is best for them. What is best in the eyes of God. And so to love our enemies is not to like them or have good feelings towards them. To love our enemies is simply to want what is best for them and strive to do that. And that's what really gives us freedom, because it allows us to love someone even in the very moment that they are hurting us, as Jesus did. For I do not think Jesus was necessarily having positive feelings toward Judas as he hung bleeding on the cross, but he did love him in that moment. He wanted what was best for Judas, which was repentance, forgiveness, and mercy. And so I now want to, kind of armed with this knowledge of what God love is, to kind of apply it in some like practical ways. And what are some ways that we can love our enemies? What are some ways we can want what is best for them? And I only thought of like three just for like time's sake, but so I'm sure like going forward, maybe there's other ways you can think of some of these ways to love our enemies. But I also think like maybe there's someone in our heads that we can maybe come to mind as we speak about this, that the Lord is inviting us to maybe grow in our love for that person. The first one comes from our Lord, from our gospel, which seems to kind of always be the number one, like survey says, answer to everything, and that's to pray. That's always the answer. We'll pray about it. Pray for this person. And yet, praying for our enemies is what is best for them. And I think we may all agree with that in kind of like a general sense. Like, yeah, praying for enemies is good. But it becomes much more difficult if we pray for our enemy by name, specifically. To be able to say, Lord, bless this person. I'm praying that you will help this person. It's really hard. And that's what makes the Jesuit reflection in that retreat so powerful. To not think of the love Jesus had for humanity in general as he hung on the cross, but the specific love he had for Judas as he hung on the cross. It's a wonderful thing to think of too, is that every person we come in contact with to think of, tend to pray about that Jesus loved this person so much that he died for them. Every person in front of us, we can say that, just as much as we can say it for ourselves. And so we should love our enemies by praying for them. Second way to love our enemies kind of shows how important that definition of love is, to want the best for them. Because sometimes to love someone, wanting their best, means to stand up to them, to tell them that they are wrong, to kind of call them out sometimes. You know, the best thing for someone is at times for them to confront the consequences of their actions. So then Jesus himself, out of love, stood up against his enemies when it was best for them. An example of this is when he actually did overturn tables and drive out merchants from the temple. That this wasn't just kind of like a fit of rage by Jesus, it was an act of love. Because the best thing for those merchants was to be clearly shown that what they were doing was wrong. They're desecrating the house of God. And so to love our enemies is not always just to be kind of rolled over by them. We can love our enemies by standing up to them. The difficult part is we need to make sure that we're doing it because it's best for them and not just for ourselves. Not just us kind of doing it out of our own self-righteous anger. A third way to love our enemies is perhaps the most difficult, and that's to forgive them. To be able to repeat what Jesus said on the cross and say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Again, the tough part is we think that forgiveness comes with kind of with nice, warm feelings, that once we forgive someone, everything kind of gets fixed. Yet that's not always the case, as we know. Jesus forgave Judas as he suffered on the cross. And so forgiving someone, especially an enemy, is not necessarily always going to take away the pain they inflicted on us, rewrite the past. Forgiveness is an act of love, doing what is best for them. And the scary part is that sometimes when we forgive, the person we are loving most is ourselves. For are we not at times our own worst enemy? I think we could apply that to all three of those things. How often do we like pray for ourselves, asking the Lord for help for ourselves? How often do we kind of stand up to ourselves when we know we're doing something wrong, to be able to confront ourselves and admit that? And how often are we willing to forgive ourselves? We can kind of, that's kind of sometimes the last person we're willing to forgive. And so as we enter into Lent, which begins this Wednesday, let us begin by loving, by wanting what is best for our enemies, the people we have been hurt by, and maybe that's ourselves even. Because then when we do that, we may then catch a glimpse of what it means to be perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect.